Morning, everybody. Woo! Good chilly one this morning. Hope you're well. Sorry about the last time we were supposed to be together. ended up having a very early meeting that went later than I anticipated. I'm going to be in trouble this morning. I left my spectacles at home. So, a spectacleless guy. Spectacleless guy? No glasses. Hard to see. So what are we doing now? We've been on and off over the last few months. So we've been going through Luke most of the summer, actually. Hit fall, and we visited with Jonah. Finished that up last week. So we've begun to dig back into the Gospel of Luke. In the meantime, what I'm going to be doing, so you might know, is Sundays at Mosaic for the next 4 to 6 weeks. We're going to walk through the book of Jonah with a little deeper, a little more context. So we'll look forward to revisiting our friend of the seas. So we're in Luke chapter 9. And what we did was we looked at, because we'll read this contextually since it's been a little bit. We're going to look at when Jesus sends out the 12. So this is really the first time in Jesus' time with his disciples that he sends them out on their own. So there's a leadership adage, you know, when you see somebody who's popping that's the phrase we use when we see somebody who seems to show some leadership ability and some character that go with it, we call that popping, right? And so when you see a leader begin to pop and you begin to draw them in, you just basically spend time with them. It's called discipleship. Now, this is a really important element for those of us who have been walking with Christ. Discipleship is actually what Jesus calls us to. So when Jesus says, follow me, he's saying, be my disciple. The question we might want to ask ourselves is, what is a disciple? What makes a disciple? And then in that regard, what makes me a disciple? The point of discipleship, especially in that day, was that somebody would essentially commit themselves to a mentor, to a disciple maker, to somebody who, in essence, had authority. And they would change their lives to walk through life with them. This could certainly be vocationally, as an apprentice in a business or in a governmental, you know, this idea of apprenticing and learning a residency, we might call it in the United States. It's where you are walking with someone in their area of expertise as to watch what they do, listen to what they say, reflect on their character, their nature, their manner, their way, their vision, their strategy. And as you walk with them, you're learning from them. And it's not didactic teaching for the most part, although that can happen. What it is life on life. It's spending time with each other. It's being present with one another. It's having a mutual respect. So the disciple maker should be living a life that reflects what it is the discipler is looking to become. And again, whether that's vocational in terms of how I do my job or how I become a leader, but in Christianity, it's a matter of character with regard to how I walk with Jesus and how I become an instrument of righteousness, an instrument of goodness in his hands. How do I become more like Christ? And so this whole idea of a disciple is that you draw near to the one who is going to disciple you, who's going to mentor you, who's going to apprentice you, and you walk with them. So Jesus has been walking with the disciples for a period of time. And there comes a moment when you're with the disciples. So it's, come with me and watch. Then it's, so come with me and watch, then watch me do, then do with me. Then I watch you do, then I send you out to do, and you come back and report to me, and we go back and forth, right? That's what Jesus is doing at this point in his ministry. He's been with the disciples probably a year or so, And they have walked with him. They've listened to him. They've watched him. They are beginning to learn from him. They're probably showing characteristics like him. We become a lot like our teacher. If you've ever been mentored or had a boss who you really, really respect and admire, you tend to pick up, if you spend enough time together, not only are you learning from them, but you begin to pick up their mannerisms and their even to some degree, their body language. So Jesus is wanting them to hear what he has to say, but even more than that, he's wanting them to see what he does and how he does it, and for whom, and with what heart. So he's been doing this. So he takes the 12. Let me go back to my NIV because I know it a little bit better. Here we go. Let me pray. Father, we are called to be disciples of you. Then we're commanded to go make more disciples. So Lord, I would pray that you would reveal to us what a disciple is, how it is we are to be a disciple, and what we need to do to become what it is that you've called us to be. As we walk with you and become more like you, we hear you and we're astonished by you, and we're honored to be with you, and we see the privilege of becoming like you and doing what you do. May that be true for us, and may we search that out. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, when Jesus called the 12 together, his disciples, he gave them power and authority, so they had watched him. Now he's saying, now you've seen the power and the authority with which I've spoken and which I've acted. You've watched how I do it and with whom and for whom. You see the care I take expressing such things. Now I'm going to give you an opportunity, he says. You've been with me. Now let's see what happens. So when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So the power was, especially for the disciples among the Jews, was to give credence to what it is they were doing. It was a demonstration of God's power so that their credibility would be built up. It was one thing that they had been with Jesus, and people would have noticed that, especially because they're echoing the same message. The difference here is that now they're demonstrating the same power. And this is really important because that's what validates the miracles. Jesus said, if you don't believe anything else, look at the miracles. Look at what it is I'm doing and the manner with which I'm doing it and the healing of the people. That's a demonstration of God's power. The kingdom of heaven is now among you. This was an important demonstration among the Jews because the Jews oftentimes would demand a sign. They want to see power from God to be evidence of your being right with God or having God's favor. Jesus, knowing this in the beginning of the ministry and helping the disciples themselves see the importance of this and that their credibility was not based on them. It was based on his name, his authority, and his power. And so what he's saying is, you're going to take the kingdom of heaven forward in my name with my power and authority, and that's going to give credibility to what it is you're saying and doing. Imitate me. Ooh. As a disciple, we're called to imitate Jesus in particular. What gives our message credibility? When we imitate him. Go back to Jonah. Although the message was certainly powerful, and the 120,000 Ninevites repented, the fact is, the manner with which he went about what he did cost him dearly, and it cost many of those around him. What we're called to do in Christ Jesus, with the Holy Spirit in us that exudes the very character and nature of God, we are to do not only what we do as commanded, we're to do it the way Jesus had done it. And what gives our message credibility? That we act like Jesus. What steals our credibility? When we speak one way and act another. Or when we say these actions are evidence of Jesus, but our mouths are harsh or unbecoming or inappropriate. There needs to be congruence between what we say and what we do and who we say we are and whose we say we are and then how it is we speak and act, not just what we say. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says this, you can fathom all knowledge and understand all mystery. You can speak the truth, but if you have not love, you're sounding gong. This is really important for us to recognize. The letter to Ephesus in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus said, I love the fact that y'all are about the truth. That's awesome, and I applaud you. I really do. But you're missing one thing. You've left your first love. Unless you go back and do what you did at the beginning, I'm gonna put your light out. What is Jesus saying? It's not just a matter of truth. It's a matter of truth and grace, truth and spirit, truth and mercy, truth and love. That what we say should, in essence, come out of who we are, and who we are should be demonstrated by a life that resembles the one who trains us. So that now we have to ask ourselves this question: who am I letting train me? Where am I spending most of my time? With whom? What am I listening to? What's the preponderance of what I read or listen to or watch? Who is it that I give permission to mold and shape my mind, my thinking, my heart, and its feeling and believing? Is it a news agency? Is it social media? Is it a group of friends? Is it my favorite show that I binge and the characters in it? Or is it the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of believers? Hanging out with people, rubbing elbows and shoulders with people who are committed to looking like Jesus, whose great desire is to have been discipled by him, so that when people even push back against us and we respond with grace and truth, with wisdom, the only credibility, the credibility that stands out more than anything else, isn't how smart we are, but is that we act like Jesus. Peter and John, before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin they marveled at their grace, and they marveled at their power, and they marveled at their wisdom, at their message. They marveled at the way they lived their lives and their commitment to it. And the only thing they could say was, it was obvious they'd been with Jesus. Well, let's ask ourselves. When people watch us, listen to us, walk with us, sit with us, work with us, play with us, is the general trajectory of our lives such? Do we spend time with Jesus in such a way that they would talk to each other about us and go, it looks like they've been with Jesus? That's a disciple. And so when it says, when Jesus called the 12, the disciples, together, and he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases, he's saying, you're going to act like me. You're going to get to walk among the people with the attributes that I've demonstrated to them to be evidence of the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, rely on the one who I rely on and take nothing with you except this authority, this power, this message, and what you're learning from me as you walk with me, my manner, my way, my love, my compassion, my mercy, my adherence to the truth, and my calling people to repentance, but doing so in such a way as to meet them where they are. Recognizing you will be rejected, we'll look at that again later. But even in that rejection, do not let that push you off. Don't let that distract you or discourage you. Leave that place and move on. Find another group who might be susceptible to the truth, whose hearts can be and will be touched by the kingdom of heaven, be healed by the words of truth. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, salvation by grace, repentance that the Heavenly Father is seeking to add to the kingdom. Demonstrate that through the power that I'm giving you to heal the sick, to be compassionate, to release them from their physical bondage as a symbol of their being released from a spiritual bondage. The healing of the body is temporary at best, if God ordains it at all, though it can happen, and it does happen. More than anything, it is to open our eyes to see what God wants to do with our souls, to heal our hearts, our spirit, to give us hope that goes beyond a body that might be healed in this moment, but eventually will break down and die, living beyond. And Jesus was evidencing this in everything that he did. And he wanted the disciples to see it, to catch it, to learn it, to speak it, to do it, and to be it. It's his representation. That's who we're supposed to be. He gathers us up. He walks with us. He heals us. He speaks with authority to our sin. And if we acquiesce, our sin is expunged and we gain his righteousness. As we walk with him more, we watch him and we see his manner and his way. We see what he does and what he says and how he does it. Then he says, now go. Let's see what you can do with his authority and power to bring healing and to release people from the bondage of sin and to introduce them to the Heavenly Father who loves them so. And to speak of the kingdom and what Jesus has done in our lives, just to testify to this truth. And as we grow more and more, it more naturally exudes from us. We'll end with this. We go down to verse 10. Now, first of all, let's just read this real quick. So when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom and heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey. Trust my Father. He knows what you need. And you're worthy of keep the message you bring. Now, remember, they're going to the Israelites. They're not going out to the Gentile people. The Israelites would recognize what this would be in terms of a proselyte, you know, somebody who's being trained and who has a message and is expressing the kingdom of heaven. The Jews would understand what is happening, and that's why he's so strong here later. Look what it says. It says, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no shirt, extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay until you leave that town. Let them express their hospitality to you. Let them do that. Verse 5, if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet. Why? Because they know them. They're going to the Jews. And the Jews know that the Messiah is coming. They've heard, they're praying for the kingdom of God to come among them. They're looking for signs. And Jesus has given them signs and spoke to the kingdom. There's congruency in his life. It matches. There's integrity. What he says and what he does matches. How he does it matches. And you're going to do the same. And so if they reject you, they're rejecting all the prophets, they're rejecting the law, they're rejecting the message, and they're rejecting the very thing that God had promised them. It's okay. Just wipe the dust off. Don't take that discouragement with you. Go to the next town. So he goes on to say, and maybe we'll talk a little bit next time we're together about how that might be true in the United States, among us. What it is, how is it we're to manage that moment? Verse 6 says, so they went out. They set out and went into village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. The news of the kingdom of heaven moving forward was beginning to spread by the very ones who had been affected by the kingdom. That should be us, just like them. What happens? Listen to what happens next. Now Herod the Tetrarch, he is the ruler over this area. This is the governmental head. Now he's a Jew working for the Romans, overseeing this community. It goes all the way to the top. This is just 12 ordinary men, in essence, walking with in the way of the one who disciples them. The message is going forward. The power is being demonstrated. People are being healed and released from the bondage. Village to village, it says. Verse 7, now Herod the Tetrarch heard all about all that was going on. In other words, it went right to the top. And here is, in essence, the mayor, who hears about 12 ordinary men demonstrating power that seems to be beyond them, acting in a manner that is congruent with this other guy, Jesus. Is this thing spreading? What is happening? When we act like the gospel, when we walk like Jesus, we don't have to proclaim it to anyone. As it happens, it begins to move. People begin to speak of it. People begin to talk about it, and it'll go right to the top. I've seen this here. Now we see it in this text. Herod, the ruler over this area, heard about all that was going on and was perplexed by it. We'll dig deeper into that. Jesus said two things that I want us to take with us as a disciple. said, when you pray, don't stand on the street corner like hypocrites do, crying out and making sure everybody hears them pray and hear how pious they are. No. When you pray, go home and go into your closet where no one else can see you, but your Heavenly Father sees what's done in secret. And He'll hear what you have to say. He'll listen. He knows what you need. Be careful. The second thing is, when you do your acts of righteousness, don't stand up and blow trumpets. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't create a billboard campaign. No. When you do your acts of righteousness, He says, do it in such a way that your left hand doesn't even know what your right hand is doing. Your Heavenly Father will see what's done in secret, and He will reward you for it. Combine that with another tiny lesson Jesus taught, and it was this. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel or under a bed. No, when they light the lamp, they put it up on a lampstand so that everyone in the room can see. You are like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. What's He saying? He's saying, listen, I lit you up. I'm the lighter of your lamp. You are the light of the world, but I am the source of that light and the substance of that light. And I didn't light you to put you under a bushel or under a bed. No, I put you on a lampstand and everyone sees you. See, we don't have to verbally proclaim all the things that we do just to declare to everyone, look at me or look at it. No. All we have to do is act like Jesus. We just need to be disciples sent out. And do it in such a way that reflects the person of Christ, that transforms lives. And you know what? It's going to be shouted from the mountaintop. Jesus said, whatever's done in secret will be brought to light. Whatever's said in secret will be shouted from the mountaintop. What's He saying? Be humble. Be contrite. Dignify the ones you're speaking with. Don't look for glory or praise or no. I'll make sure people hear about it. I'll make sure they hear about it based on changed lives, the transformation of people who cannot help but testify to what God has done. It'll make it to the top. Even Herod heard about all that was going on. Let's be disciples of Jesus and learn from Him and then be like Him as He sends us out in power. With the message of the kingdom, grace.